Happy Halloween time! I'm Roz Hernandez. I'm a comedian and the host of the paranormal comedy podcast, Ghosted by Roz Hernandez, produced by Starburns Audio. On my podcast, I talk to famous people, comedians, experts, and listeners about all things paranormal. We're talking Ouija boards, poltergeists, aliens, psychics, demons, Bigfoots, and of course, ghosts. My podcast is weekly all year long, and I've got over 3 years of episodes currently available for all your spooky needs. Recent guests include Patton Oswalt.
But it felt like the minute I walked away from the monitors and I couldn't see anything, that's when the ghost started moving around.
Naomi Ekperigin.
A ghost isn't like somebody, it's not like a return. It's like somebody who was like, I don't feel like leaving.
And Chris Colfer.
Whatever it was slowly just disappeared. And that's when I knew, oh, that was not a person.
Subscribe to Ghosted by Roz Hernandez on Apple Podcasts and everywhere you get podcasts.
Crab Feast, you know what it's all about.
This is the Crab Feast. I'm yelling, fuck that. You ain't gotta ask me, cause you could trust that. Every Tuesday, you already knew though. Orion Sickler, soccer star, Juco. Above ground, cool goes better than most. Jay Larson, self-diagnosed. Go down low this week, last week. Here we go again. Fuck the Crab Feast.
It's the joint.
Back to the Crab Feast, y'all.
Sickle cell.
Another tooth. The Crab Feast. Well, that ass. That is, God, I don't know what episode number this is, but that Sickle, is officially
that's the most
touchiest pitches we've ever touched. Pitches.
Well, you touched mine three times. So that
I was glad you did. When you jumped back in, I got reinvigorated. I felt it. I was like, oh, no.
I was like, Jesus Christ.
Good to see you and touch your pitch, Jay
Get
Larson comedy.
Lungs over there, Sickle. Good to see you too, baby. Good to be here with you, Feast Nation. Great to be here with you. JayLarsonComedy.com is my website where my special Me Being Me is available. Jay Larson Comedy on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to keep up to date with what I'm doing and just for entertainment's sake. I'm going out on the road. I'm coming to visit all of you guys, as many of you as I can get to. I'll be at Hilarities in Cleveland on the 3rd of October. I'll be at the Detroit Shipping Company in Detroit on the 4th of October. Chicago, I'll be there on the 5th of October at the North Bar. Super excited for that. On October 10th, I'll be with the McManamans Mission Theater in Portland, Oregon. On the 11th, I'll be in Seattle at the Rebar. On the 12th of October, I'll be back out in Wenatchee. And on the 14th of October, I'll be in Oakland, California. Excited about that. Some other dates still to be released, but locked up at the Seeker Group in Houston on October 27th and at the Bug Theater in Denver on the 28th of October, and then Helium Comedy Club in Philadelphia on November 7th, the Comedy Loft in Washington, D.C. on the 8th of November, Union Hall in Brooklyn on the 9th of November, the Rockwell in Boston on the 10th of November, and then in Portsmouth, New Hampshire on the 11th. Excited about that. And then St. Louis, I'll be at the Ready Room on November 14th, Atlanta, the Relapse Theater on the 17th of November, and again, other dates getting filled in as we go. These are not up on my website yet, but just mark your calendar, and as soon as I get all the dates, I'm going to lock them in. I just want to let you guys out there know about those. I know that was a lot of them. I'm sorry to do so much time taking up here. Also wanted to announce today in this episode, you're going to hear a very special saying that Mr. Sickle Cell says repeatedly, and it's hilarious, and we went ahead and made a t-shirt, which will now be available as of today. So check our Instagrams, check our website. We will have a link up there for it tomorrow. Today. Today is not tomorrow. So please go get yourself a nice t-shirt and put it on your master charge. Put this on Sickle Cell. Sickle Cell, where are you at?
Well, Ryan Sickler on all social media, ryansickler.com. Get over there and follow me on Instagram. I'm putting some effort into it. Petaluma Festival, guys. That is this Saturday, Northern California, August 18th. We are doing a live Crab Feast podcast. And you can get all that information from thecrabfeast.com for any and all Crab Feast related info. We're on iTunes, Spotify, Laughable. You know, if you guys, sometimes I see, oh, I'm having trouble with this or whatever, you can play us directly from our website, thecrabfeast.com. So subscribe, follow the Crab Feast on Facebook and Twitter. As Jay told you, we have a new shirt. You know, before MasterCard existed, they were MasterCharge. And my grandmother used to have a MasterCharge. And we were talking about how, you know, back in the day, having a credit card was embarrassing. It meant I can't pay for this right now. Yeah. These days, that's all it is. It's like, put that shit on, charge it, charge to the card. And my grandmother would, like, whisper sometimes, like, a little bit, like, put that on my MasterCharge. So we became this running, put that on my MasterCharge. So check the shirt out. It will be online. We will absolutely promote that on all of our social media. And back again, great sponsor. We love them. You love them. Birdwell Beach Britches, guys. Summer is here and the beach, pool, and lake are calling. If you're wondering what to wear this year, forget about the flash-in-the-pan trends and guesswork and get classic surf style from Birdwell that will look good year after year. Birdies are legendary for their qualities. Customers often come into Birdwell Santa Ana Factory and Store in the same pair of birdies they've been wearing for decades. Sometimes they see sons wearing 30-plus-year-old pairs that were once their father's. Birdwell Beach Britches look as good today as they did when surfers first started wearing them in 1961, maybe even better. Outside Magazine calls them the 501s of the beach. One of my favorite things about birdies, other than their durability, their comfortability, every pair of Birdwell Beach Britches is individually inspected to ensure the highest quality and is covered by a lifetime guarantee. Lifetime. So if a seam, stitch, or grommet breaks, you send it back to the factory and they will fix it. Now, to get 10% off your first Birdwell Beach Britches purchase with a lifetime guarantee and free shipping over $99, go to birdwell.com and use discount code CRAB at checkout. That's discount code CRAB at birdwell.com. Pick up your first pair of birdies and see why they've been an American icon since 1961.
Ladies and gentlemen, excited to have on for the first time.
First timer.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Mr. Sandy Danto.
Sandy Danto.
Welcome to the Crab
Feast. Welcome to the Crab Feast.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Wow. I've never been introduced with such energy before.
Well, the way now you gotta should feel be like introduced.
Thank you.
How do you feel?
I feel like I got to live up to that energy.
You do.
And I've spent the day with my 4-year-old niece and my 2-year-old nephew and my 5-week-old daughter.
Oh, damn. Your brother and sister live out here?
My wife's brother and his family are visiting right now. Because we just had a baby. Yeah.
How long are they out for?
They leave tomorrow. They've been here for a few days.
Oh, but that's cool.
It's just been jam-packed morning to night. All day activity.
Yeah, but you've got a 4-year-old, a what, and a 5 all in the pool. I mean, the whole time, that's just panic. Like, that's just lifeguarding the entire time.
It's panic for me because my brother-in-law and sister-in-law are like, we want to be with the baby. You take our kids.
Yeah,
can they swim yet?
No, but, you know.
Yeah.
At all? I was a lifeguard. I got certified in Canada. I know a thing or two about keeping kids safe.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
Well, we're glad to have you here.
I'm glad to be here.
You know, Josh Adam Myers is the one who...
Whoa, dude. You're not going to believe this.
You're not going to believe this right now.
Josh Adam Myers! Get your ass out here!
Josh! Oh, dude. Come on. You know...
You told me I wasn't going to be on the mic. And then, I told you that Sandy was going to be great, thinking you'd only have him on. And now you have me on, and you know I'm not going to shut up. So here we go. What story do you want
to
hear about?
No, we don't. We just thought it'd be cool for you to say what's up. We want to hear Sandy
tell. Well, yeah. I'll tell a few of Sandy's stories then. There's this one time.
No, you're
that
not
he
telling Sandy's stories, dude.
He was balls deep in her.
Good Lord.
That is an incredible Josh Adam Myers. And I love, because Jay sent me a note across the table to tee it up, because I was like, this is going to be the first, this is the first
time,
quote unquote, official call out from the back room that was really here.
That could happen.
I felt the moment when you slid it to me. I was like, I know exactly what he wants.
Well, Josh doesn't appreciate. Well,
sound like me, but yeah, I'm not going to get upset about it.
You know, he's listening right now at the fucking dog park, and he's like sitting next to him, like,
vaping. He's like, hey, I'm sorry I talked to you, but they're talking about me on this podcast. Hold on. They're talking about me. I don't know what episode it is, 317, right to 636, Mark.
Yeah. Hey, how about this? We're at the dog park. You're Josh. I'm, who can I be?
I'll give you a real-life situation that happened there where a guy, he was up on the hill with his dog. You're at the dog park, and a guy bends down and keys the side of his car. Or possibly was just tying his shoe.
Yeah. I know a lot of people that want to key Josh Adam Myers' car. You know what I mean? No, I'm gonna be Luke Wilson. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, man, is that your dog over there?
Oh yeah, that's Lekka. You want to pet Lekka? You can pet Lekka.
No, that's cool, man. I got my dog. I'm just gonna.
Now you don't want to pet Lekka? You ask about her.
Well, I just it's just a cool dog. I got to get going, man. But
now I'll be insulted if you don't pet Lekka.
It's
I thought
so
we were
good.
Bonding.
That's his spot, is that dog park, man.
Yeah, yeah.
The best impression that will never make you any money I've ever heard in my entire life.
And that's on Josh. You know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying. That impression
I need him to get
is
success.
On his back. Yeah,
that's not good.
You could make a career off of that if he can make a career.
Well, fingers crossed.
It's really fucking good, dude. I can't.
If we can only go back in time and get him to host his own show.
How does he feel about you doing that impression? Has he actually aired it out to you?
He didn't used to like it, and I think he's come around to being like, well, it doesn't sound anything like me, but I can see where other people think it's funny.
He really thinks that doesn't sound like it.
Yeah.
You got to work.
You don't do the Baltimore twang.
You got to throw in the vape breaks. Oh, yeah.
You got to be just a cloud.
I got three on me right now.
I've said to him, like, you ever go to like those vape places? Like, yeah, I go to those couple vape places.
He did a stand-up show. I did a spot in his stand-up show at a vape place on Sunset Boulevard one time.
Oh my God.
He's like, Ryan, they give me vapes. Never told him to do my show in here. And we had a good fucking show.
Ryan sounds like Stallone doing Josh.
Well, that's why I'm not the guy. You do it so good. It's really so good.
Well, listen, we've talked enough about my least favorite guest ever, and let's talk more about Mr. Sandy Danto. Sandy, where can everybody find you on social media, or any dates, anything you want to plug, your podcast? Let people know where they can find you.
Well, I do a show monthly at the Improv in the Lab called Watch Me Chill.
What is that show? I mean, I see it all. I've never been to it or asked to do it, but I've seen, I see promotions on it.
You will be.
And it's a cool vibe, right? What do you
do? Yeah, it's basically just, it's not a talk show. It's not a comedy show. It's not a podcast, but it kind of has the vibe of all three. We watch videos that we find on the internet, and it's my show, but I'm the sidekick, because if I had to host, there'd be no chilling of mine to watch. And we have people on to do weird stuff, and we call and order services during the show. And it's basically like if we were hanging out at my apartment getting high 10 years ago.
That's tight.
That's the vibe I'm trying to set. Yeah,
that's cool.
But you guys will be asked. Don't worry.
Nice. So you got that.
I got that. That's coming up September 29th at 7:30, I think. The 7 p.m.? No, that's too early for a show, right?
7:30 sounds good.
Yeah, that sounds good. We'll start it late anyway, even if it is at 7. And at Sandy Danto is my thing across all social media. And I also have a new podcast, guys. about being a dad, which both that there is no way I can't not have both you guys do it.
Yeah.
It's called Motherfuckers, a parenting podcast. I do it with Avery Pearson. You know Avery?
Yeah, of course.
Great dude. He has...
I actually asked him to come on, but he's out of town, I believe.
Yeah, he's on some fancy vacation to Aspen.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a 19-month-old. When we started the podcast, he had a 6-month-old. And me and my wife weren't even pregnant yet. And we were just sort of navigating the waters of becoming a dad. And he knew that we were trying, so that we began the process at the very beginning, which when you hear parenting podcasts, it's usually like, I got a 5-year-old and a 9-year-old, and you know, here are the things, I got to carpool them. We wanted to start at the very beginning,
mm-hmm.
and then build up from there. So we interviewed a bunch of people, took a year to put it out, so we cut up all the interviews, and there's bits and pieces of each interview in every episode.
Cool, man.
Oh, yeah. I see. Yeah. Very nice.
We did it like NPR style.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, it's fun.
And where do people find that?
On iTunes or Stitcher. It's 3 asterisks after the F because, you know, iTunes is puritanical.
Yeah.
Very.
Yeah.
Well, all right, man. Well, it's been great to have you on,
awesome,
dude.
It's been awesome to have you on here.
Thank you. Yeah. So is that it?
That's it. Mm-hmm.
Cool.
It's a wrap. It's just a promo. That's actually, someone should just do that.
A promo podcast? Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Well, you did your homework. We asked you to come with some stories. And then I was telling you there are some stories that I had heard about you. And I mean, gosh, I don't know where to start.
I mean, we got to start there. I mean, come on. How do you get into directing? How does that happen?
All right. Okay, well, no.
Right? I mean, how?
Directing what, pray tell?
I don't know. You I heard you have us. A directing you background on IMDb.
I definitely have a directing
Dark Knight,
credit.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
The darkest
something
night.
Like the darkest night, yes. The night that was darkest and there was never a dawn.
Yeah.
I directed a scene of gay porn.
Are you gay?
No.
Not gay?
No, not gay.
There have was you a ever time, been?
Jay just
no,
turned the
I have never been gay, although there was a time when I first moved to L.A. and had no confidence with women that I just thought, I wish I could be gay.
Yeah, no shit.
And I just couldn't do it. And also for my career sometimes, just wish I could be gay.
I wish you were trying to be gay and all gay dudes were just shutting you down like, nah, man, sorry,
but
bro.
But I am gay. So how do you even get...
And how is it just a scene?
Yeah,
ooh, how you hold the game and you're like, hold on.
There's a long... This is a long story, so... No straight guy directs gay porn unless their life
is... Well, you could have just ended the... That's where
no,
the period
actually,
goes.
I found a lot of straight goes. Guys do direct gay porn.
I don't believe it.
But the end of that statement is when their life isn't in the shitter.
Yeah.
Like...
When did you... You moved here from Detroit?
I moved here right after college. I grew up in Detroit. I went to college in Indiana.
Where'd you go? IU?
Bloomington.
Wow. And, got a Hoosier over here.
Yeah, right. Look at that.
Get them red and white striped pants on, son?
I wore that to direct, yes. And then I retired.
Tight, though. Bobby Knight style.
Then they're up in the rafters now.
Now, at the end of the scene, didn't one of the guys throw a chair across the room for Bobby Knight?
So how...
His hair was not white at the beginning of the scene, but it was at the end. fun fact about gay porn scenes, there are 2 money shots.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't even think of that. You know what, man? I'll tell you, that is the first. I'd registered for a second. I was like, yeah, of course there is. Yeah, but I have see that? That's something that you would think is just right there in front of your face, and it's nothing it's not even a math problem I've ever decided to put down on paper and figure out. I can't even with that right now.
Well, consider yourself lucky that you got to learn that secondhand.
Wait, so you moved here?
I moved here in 2006 right after I graduated college. I had a job at National Lampoon. I was an intern there, and then I showed up, and they're like, you look like Belushi. You want to work here full time. Like, not even joking.
You're like, look like him. Check out his impression.
Yeah, man. I do a good Belushi. Jim Belushi. It's really good, according to Jim. Okay, I'll see myself out.
Josh, get out of here, man. It's Sandy's time now. You've been on enough. Just leave.
So And shortly after I started working at Lampoon, I started working for Pauly Shore on top of that.
I hope he doesn't keep interrupting on the podcast throughout the
night. I have a feeling he will.
I hope he doesn't, man. I really hope he respects.
I mean, it's just unbelievable. Wait, so you got... That's amazing. Like, you know what, man? Fucking... Let's keep it real around here. You look just like Belushi. Fuck it.
So here's health insurance.
Pretty much, yeah. And I did get health insurance. It was awesome.
That is incredible.
It was very cool. And then I started working on the side for Pauly Shore, which...
Dude, you're not going to believe this.
Pauly!
No way.
Get in here, man. Come Pauly. Say to your old employee.
Dude, where do... Do I talk right into here?
That's just right into the mic, yeah, man.
You can take Sandy's mic.
Dude, this is cool. Look at your little studio, right? Your little podcast studio. It's cool.
Yeah, we were hoping you give us some insights onto Sandy and his bald arms.
Dude, baby weasel. He doesn't have any hair on his arms because what?
It's the craziest
He's
thing.
The
Did you just notice it?
Yeah. Baby.
It was a source of... confusion for me on the Josh Wolf Control Chaos show. It bothered Lord, it really got nothing. It got to me. There's nothing there.
What's your
but
background?
He's got hair all over his chest.
Portuguese
and Russian hair on your back.
I mean, that's
hair
very...
on my back, hair on my chest, none on my nothing. arms, very little on my leg.
Not even on your nuts.
A little bit on my nuts, right. Yeah.
Well, tune into the story about the gay porn and you'll see.
Yeah. P.S. I'm money shot number two.
That's how I'm listed in the credits. Yeah, the money shot number two.
If I'm going, I'm going last. All right.
That's where you want to be.
Yep.
So wait, if you're, how do you be in a position that you're going to take on gay porn? You sounds like you were dialed in as soon as you got here.
Things
you're working
okay.
National
so that's
Lampoon,
actually
working for Pauly.
It's funny because that's. It's sort of the arc of the story, okay? I was set up. Things were really good for me for a while. My career peaked like 2 years after I moved here. And then Lampoon got into all kinds of crazy turmoil.
I'm going to ask you off mic when we're done if you know a guy that I think you probably know because I know all about that turmoil.
Yeah. I bet you do. And
But two guys. I mean...
The same guys from the gay porn?
The one that...
Probably... Considering the term. So the CEO that hired me, I got the job because I was going to spend my whole senior year of college spring break working on my resume and writing cover letters to get internships in New York and LA. And I just happened to meet the Hillel rabbi at college whose brother was the CEO at National Lampoon at the time. And she just gave me his email address. I emailed him and he gave me an internship sight unseen. He's just like, be here at this date. At this address, and
that's
I showed
they say
up
about them Jews, player.
yeah, you know. And I just, but he, great, really nice guy, really, really super cool to me. Have nothing bad to say about him, but he was.
Nor should you.
He was a shady businessman.
Yeah,
I should have known. He had the CEO haircut, slick back hair, and so 2-3 years after I moved here and started working there, he got indicted. On federal charges
of
securities fraud and went to like one of those white collar country club prisons.
From what I read, he was trying to sell Lampoon.
How long had he been there? Was he a founder?
No. Oh. By this time, all the founders were long gone. The guy who founded it.
Great documentary on HBO.
I think
Netflix
it's on Netflix.
About it.
But the guy who founded it from not the creative standpoint, but the business guy, Matty Simmons, he would still come in from time to time.
Well, you know where else he's coming
in right now? Right Madison! Jazz in here, Maddie.
Hey, guys.
I don't know what I'm doing here. I'm very senile.
I'm going to say with your track record, I'm going to say that's probably pretty accurate.
He invented the credit card.
Come on.
Yeah, the Diners Club card.
Matty Simmons invented the Diners Club's the first credit card.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My grandmother used to say Master Charge. Wasn't MasterCard at the time. It was Master. Huh. Put it on. She used to say it all the time. I still makes me laugh. Put that on my Master Charge. Put that on my Master Charge.
I miss those old credit card machines that you had to like.
Yeah. I was at this. It's like Mar Vista. It was a gas station. It had a Master Charge. Like old rusty one hanging there swinging. And I took a picture of it. I put it online a while ago.
Oh, really?
I don't think so. Yeah. And you can Google it and stuff. Master Charge. That's what it was before. She would say it all the time. It would just, it would kill me. And she would say it like, you know, like a little low key, like almost embarrassed that I have a credit card, but it's a good thing. But it's like, you know, put that on my Master Charge.
Yeah, because when credit cards came out, was it kind of like, listen, we can't pay with this right now. Yeah. I mean, was that what it was?
It probably was an embarrassing thing. Like,
I either think it was that or only super elite rich people had it.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I always had a credit card from the day I was born.
Josh, get the fuck out of here,
man. This isn't about you.
I used my first credit card to buy my first vape.
Dude, there's no vaping in here, bro.
It was expired for 40 years, but you know those vape shops.
Josh, just get the fuck out of here.
All right.
So I worked at Lampoon, and then I got laid off right before the operation blew up.
You get a severance? After 2 years, you get a severance from National Lampoon?
I did not get a severance.
What were you
but
doing?
I did get stock options.
Which I can't believe you got.
Which I found a certificate for recently. I mean, it's been dissolved, and they've sold off all
the
assets.
He was trying to sell the company. This is what I've read.
It's not around anymore at all?
It just brought it back in the last 2 years. I'm deep into this. I'll tell you later. But he was trying to sell the company for X amount of dollars, and he wasn't getting what he wanted. So he supposedly paid someone to falsely inflate the market value of the company, which you can't do. You can't influence like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then sold it for that and then got busted doing that. And then right after he went to jail, I think the next guy
who was his silent partner. The guy who was his silent partner was running a Ponzi scheme in Indiana, and he got busted for that.
So thinking they're in there investigating,
and he got
everyone
life in
at
prison.
That point. He got life in prison. The next dude.
The second guy, yeah.
So both of them were fucking it up. So it had gone away for a while.
I know. I heard, and I don't know if this is true, that Josh Adam Myers had a Ponzi scheme. I'm not going to ask him because thank God he's out of the room.
Yeah.
Dude, come on. Let me tell you about the Ponzi scheme. Okay. So I was financing everybody's
You've
show.
You've never financed anything in your life. That is absurd.
Josh,
get out of here,
dude.
I'll quit calling me in.
Doesn't Lekka need to go out for a walk or something?
I just took her to the dog park.
All right, so you got laid off at National Lampoon.
So I got laid off. Pauly. I was going on the road with Pauly.
Oh, okay.
And I was the first of my friends to move here, and I was the first of my friends to get a medical marijuana card. And so I was always having to go to the shops for them. They're like, will you go? I was like, get a fucking card.
Yeah.
It's easy. But, you know, you can't get one until you get a California driver. Or this is how it used to be. You couldn't get a medical marijuana license unless you got a California state driver's license. And I did that as soon as I moved out here.
Me too.
So I got my medical marijuana, and all my friends would ask me to get it for them from the store, and they would drive me there, give me the money. And I was just sick of doing that. So I would just – I met a grower, and I would just get it from him and tell my friends it was from the – I would have like the little, you know, the pill bottles with mm-hmm. the stickers on them. I'd be like, yeah, it's that.
And so what you were selling?
So, yeah, I mean, kind of, yeah. A little black market situation. And then I'd be at the Comedy Store, and it was just, like, convenient to have it around when
people
were looking.
Is this leading back to how you stood in front of two men that were ready to fucking
set action?
This is the rising action.
Okay.
Okay, so after Lampoon, I got to go on unemployment, which was really awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going on the road with Pauly to places like Canada.
And, Dayton, Ohio.
And Dayton, Ohio, the funny bone there. And it was great. I was having a lot of fun. And then we went to Australia and New Zealand for like a month. It was awesome. And I was living with a bunch of comics. Me, Matt Edgar, Dan Madonia, Tony Hinchcliffe. There was like a revolving door of different mm-hmm, people. Mm-hmm. Dave Clock, the guy who did the posters.
Yeah, of course.
Meltdown, he lived with me for a bit. He's a friend of mine from Detroit. Just a revolving door. It was constantly a different person. And while I was in Australia, I had one of my roommates like doing my business for me with the weed. And I came back and all my stuff was at the Comedy Store. And one night, leaving the Comedy Store, I grabbed it, put in my Camaro T-top, which I was very proud to be driving at the time.
What year?
2002. Okay. Not the best year, but still, it was awesome. It was a starter Camaro.
Listen, for this T-top, can I put this on my master charge?
put just one of them T-tops on my master charge.
Master. Can you do a Baltimore accent?
He can't do the Baltimore.
Jesus Christ! Well, I'm not asking you.
He's not asking you, Josh.
The fuck out of here. No, but can you?
I don't. I think the Josh is the closest.
That was so good. It's ridiculous. Oh, he's gonna be calling the shit out of me during this episode. I'm just gonna let them all go. I'm just telling you now, they're all going to voicemail.
You're never doing the jam.
He finally had me on the jam recently. It was like the best time of my life.
What'd you say?
I sang With a Little Help from My Friends by Joe Cocker.
Oh,
in nice. The style.
Did you do
Belushi?
The Belushi, Joe Cocker?
Yeah.
So well done.
It's and excellent. It was great. It was a lot of fun.
Can you sing? Can you carry that?
Yeah.
He can manipulate his voice. You know?
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. So, I mean, if you want to go back to the story, I can. But
No. We're not veering off this story.
By the way, you sound like he could do a good Todd Glass too. You got a little Todd Glass.
Do a Todd Glass?
I can't think of if I could think of his voice in my head. I could do it. But I can't
bet you
think
do
of it
a
right
good
now.
Job at that.
Okay, so you're touring the world with Paulie.
I'm touring the, which was awesome. It was really cool. And then I came back, and within a week, I was on top of the world. I was getting a little bit of acting work. I was going on the road doing shows all over the world with a guy I used to go to the theaters to watch in movies when I was growing up.
For sure.
Collecting unemployment.
I love that that's on the list.
My parents were still together and loved me. And then one day, leaving the Comedy Store like 3 in the morning, I get pulled over and I was super high, super duper high. And the cops were like, we can smell the weed from our patrol car.
Come on.
Because how much did you have on you?
I had quite a bit.
But were you smelling it?
No. I was really high, but it was like May. I didn't have it properly packaged to conceal the smell.
How much did you have?
It was like a few ounces or something. I don't know. Who can really remember?
Yeah.
I'd have to check the police report.
How much would Belushi say he had?
Surprised Josh isn't coming in telling us the price on
it. I'll tell you.
It was more than you could just vape.
You don't even fucking know,
dude. It was more than you could vape.
It was more than you could just vape. I tried.
So they said they can smell the weed from their car.
They're like, it's legal here. Just give it to us and we'll let you go. And then
the weed?
Like, yeah.
Are you kidding me? That's what they said.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Well, hold on. Let's see how this turns.
I mean, so, I know what I would do in this situation.
Well, what would you have done?
Doesn't matter. This is about
Well, I was super high and I was like, they'll probably just let me go. And then I told them where it was and they're like, oh, this is way too much. We can't let you go.
Because how much was it?
It was like...
Half pound?
Close to that.
Close to that. It was higher? 10 ounces?
No. It was
fucking
not.
Nine.
It was like maybe four, I want to say. Four or five. I don't know.
Okay.
Something like that. Nothing crazy by today's standards.
Quarter of a pound.
But this is 2010.
Yeah.
You know? It's a lot in 2010.
So they go to the back. They get the weed and they're like, nah, this is way too much just to let you go.
Yeah.
They're thinking it's a little personal bag or whatever.
Right. So
are you by yourself in the car?
No, I'm with Rick Glassman, who if he didn't ask me for a ride, I would have not left at that time. So I could very easily blame him, but I don't.
I love Rick. I wish you would put it on him.
I probably should. And Dan Madonia, who drove my car away, or else I would have had to pay to have it impounded or taken out of the impound, whatever. But and Dan helped me bail myself out with my own money that night, which was cool.
That is nice.
And then the next day, I had to go shoot a sketch with Paulie. I like spent the night in prison, didn't sleep.
What? Hold on, with the prison.
Well, oh yeah, sorry. Jail.
You didn't go lifting weights out in the yard. No, already after one night.
I had a couple teardrop tattoos.
But that's some dumb shit like that that could end you, land you in prison. Ultimately, yeah, no, you know, you get that wrong judge that wants to send a message, and, right? You know, you really could get fucked for that,
right? If it was even in another court district, I could have gotten in a lot more trouble.
Yeah.
But luckily it got dismissed. And I had to go shoot a sketch with Paulie the next day. And then I'm like, what am I going to do? I was making the bulk of my money doing that. And I couldn't. Well, of
wait,
course
I have a question to ask you. Mm-hmm. Are you, what are you charged with? A DUI?
Because
they
charged
smell
with,
it, or what are you charged with?
I got one charge that was originally a felony, then bumped down to a misdemeanor, then dismissed of trafficking.
Jesus.
Or transporting, something like that.
Trafficking.
It was
that word scary.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it is. Word. And that's when I saw that, I was like, no. And you can't, like, I was so high I thought I could reason with them out of it, and it's just like, oh no, this is what lawyers are for.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, I'm so fucking stupid. And then I tried to turn my life around, stop smoking weed, stop doing everything with it. But then I had this whole tour booked with Paulie in Canada, bus tour, you know, all the flights, everything's booked. And then my lawyer tells me, oh, no, you can't go to Canada unless you have a special visa that takes 10 weeks to process.
Because they'll think you're fleeing the country for this?
For flight risk, and Canada doesn't let you in if you have any kind of,
you know, Josh had trouble getting
DUI.
In for
his
Montreal.
Mom had
they
to
won't
bring
let
him,
you in.
Josh for, Adam Meyer's mom had to bring him up, had to go up and get him into Canada for his first Montreal because he had that DUI.
Any DUI, any drug, any. If you have ever been caught with a fake ID,
dude, yeah. I've been caught with a fake ID.
We were wondering where you were, dude.
I got a DUI. I had a fake ID on me that I accidentally showed the cop. Now I can't even go to the Montreal Comedy Festival without my mommy.
His mom had to come get him.
Let's
get out of here, Josh. We don't care.
Dude, I got to go do the jam. I'll be back.
So I was like, Paulie is very cool, but he's not always – he can be very understanding, but he's not always – like, if you do something – He won't let you hear the end of it. You know mm-hmm. what I mean?
Dude. Well, especially because you're fucking with his tour a little. You know?
Right. And I thought I was going to have to pay him back for all the flights and all the accommodations that I wouldn't be going on. So I was really freaking out and didn't know what to do. So back in 2008, when my career was peaking, when I was still working at National Lampoon, I have a friend from college that started a porn company out here, Porn mm-hmm. Pros. And he had me. He's like,
almost said Proud Spot.
I'll put you guys in touch.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
And he's like, come by the office, just check it out, maybe it'll be funny for you, I don't know. And then I show up, and then he's like giving me a tour of the sets and the edit bays, and he's like, oh, Ron Jeremy's coming in, you want to make $50? And I was like, can you give me some more details?
Yeah.
He's like, you want to play his son in the opening sketch of a porno? I was like, okay.
Hilarious.
So I went to this mansion in Chatsworth where they're shooting, and Ron Jeremy's there being gross. He's really have you guys seen him like around the comedy
store?
He's so gross. It's I people, cause, you know, I have a mustache. I used to have really long hair, so people tell me all the time Ron Jeremy, and they think that I'm going to get a kick out of it. But I've worked with him a couple times, and I see him at the comedy store like falling asleep, smelling like shit, and I'm just like, I don't want anyone.
Is he still working?
I think here and there. I mean, this was 10 years ago now, and he was still working a lot.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's old. He's fucking old.
He's old.
Yeah. The video, it was a scene for Jurassic Cock, which
one of my favorites.
The premise is old, really old dudes with young chicks.
Gotcha.
And the idea was he's at a park teaching me about the birds and the bees and how to play harmonica to impress chicks, and this chick comes up and he woos her with his piano, or I mean with his harmonica, and then he
mouth
takes her
piano, man.
Then he takes her back to teach her piano, and she plays his skin flute.
Ooh. Wow. All right.
And I went there, and it was cool. The girl was really fucked up. She was like on Xanax, and she said something to me that I'll never forget. She said, "I don't know why they say everyone in this business has daddy issues. I never even knew my dad, so like, how could I have issues with him?"
Goodness.
Good.
And now I have a 5-week-old daughter, and yeah. I'm like holding her, trying to soothe her from crying, and I think about that story. I'm like, I'm not ever going anywhere.
Let that motivate you. Yeah. You'll be at every fucking cheer practice. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I am. I'm going to be there too. Yep. Just be there, goddammit.
Yeah.
Goodness.
So that was way back. Jeremy. And I made that $50. And she flirted with me afterward, after the money shot, before cleaning it off her face.
She's like, so
what are you doing after this? And I was like, go wash your face. Jesus Christ.
You need to get yourself cleaned up. Put that on my master jar.
Pull what on the cleanup? Whatever it takes.
Good Lord. To put it on my master charge.
Damn.
So then cut to a couple years later. I'm in dire straits. I email my friend, do you have any great jobs band behind the camera? And he called me back right away, which I wasn't expecting. You send somebody an email, you expect them to maybe return it that day. But it's okay if it's the next day or a few days later. He mm-hmm. called me and he's like, I have a job for you, but you're not going to like it.
Not only do I have a job, do you want to get working today?
Yeah, pretty much that was it.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is it? He's like, we just started a gay porn network and we need people to shoot and direct the videos. And I was like, let me think about that.
What do you mean by shoot?
That's right. It's a lot different for somebody behind the camera than in front of the camera. Everybody's shooting. I guess there's 3 money shots.
Yeah, there are 3. Mm-hmm. And I was going to be one of them. Just the one that I was comfortable with.
Solo cam shoot the whole time? Or you got one locked off and you freelance and everywhere?
Do you have a DP and shit?
Hey, DP means 2 different things. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Stop that!
That's 3 money shots minimum, Black.
Basically, it was me and a producer.
Come on, Gary, get your ass up a little bit. I'm tight right here. I'm working myself today, Gary. I'm just solo mission here. I got one locked off. I'm on these balls right now, man. Oh, my God.
Yeah, so wait, because you know what? When you said
there were grips there, but not, you know.
Probably a lot of grips.
Yeah, a lot of grips.
When you said director, I was literally thinking, like, you'd be like, all right, everybody,
he got a beret on and shit.
Everybody back
a
at
cone.
One.
He's got a cone. High ass leather boots.
He got a chair. And shit.
Looking through a viewfinder.
Burt Reynolds.
But it's just a dude's butthole. No, it's just me and a producer, and the producer just makes sure everybody signs the paperwork and takes copies of everyone's IDs to make sure they're of age. And I just, you know, like, set up the lights and point at the camera, and at times I was like holding the camera and looking away from it,
mm-hmm.
and then I was like, no, you need to be professional and you need to look no matter how foreign, because it made me realize, like, this is how a lot of people fuck. I'm just not privy to this being what I'm exposed to, and I was just like, you gotta just bear it. You got a bareback.
Straight bareback. I'm thinking of you just looking away and they get the film back. It's just like on a random outlet for 20 minutes. You know what I mean? Yeah. He's just looking away with it drifting off and shit.
Totally.
Guy shot the blinds for 20 minutes.
Well, I had to shadow a couple times before I did it.
Oh, my God.
And I shadowed a straight porn. And then I shadowed a few gay porns.
Straight
and then
porn one-on-one or straight, like, three?
It was, like, 4 chicks on one dude, and it was supposed to be, like, a femdom-type video, mm-hmm. you know,
mm-hmm.
where they're, like, embarrassing the guy.
How many cameras was on that shoot?
Just 1.
Amazing.
Yeah. And the girls are all super fucked up the whole time. It's pretty.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty
pills
weird.
Or coke or a little
I
bit of everything.
I think pills and booze and a little bit of weed.
Yeah.
And so I finally do this, and I was just like, fuck it, I'm going to Canada. And I went to Canada, and I snuck in, and I made it. And then I came back. I did the tour. It was great. I came back. And then I went back to Canada a second time. And they held me at customs. They're like, what's this charge? I was like, it's pending. It's going to get dismissed. And it did. And
how
like,
did they know? What do they just – they have your – from your passport going in, they were able to look you up?
Yeah, they can scan your whole – they could look up.
Listen, he's like, we're not concerned about the pending charge. What we're concerned about is this Jurassic Cock. What's going on right here?
Jurassic.
You know Ron?
Ron Jeremy is a hero in Canada. They love
him. Is he really?
There. Yeah, I don't know what it is.
Isn't that crazy?
It's so weird. They love him way more there than they do here. But when I went to customs, the guy had like the most beautiful eyes I've ever seen, but he was cockeyed. And he was looking at me. He was looking at me. He's like, what's this charge? And I was, he's like, you know, I don't have to let you in, but I'm going to be a nice guy and let you go this one time. And literally, that's what they say to me every single time.
They just come with the back of my, in my check-in hook.
Now everything, since I directed the one gay porn, is a scenario where a gay porn's going to break out.
Yep.
The one that I did was a massage creep video where the masseuse is massaging a straight guy and turns him gay with a, you know, a happy ending, and then it leads to other things. But then I came back from Canada.
I just love the idea of every situation you're in, you know, like you're checking out at Whole Foods and they're just like, sir, just give me your master charge.
I thought you were going to say, sir, what is this about Jurassic Cock? I'm checking out at Whole Foods. They're running a background check. Because they have to do that now to make sure you're an Amazon Prime member. But.
Dude, don't bring Amazon Prime into this. Can't even get a jewel on Amazon Prime.
I bought you a wok from Amazon Prime. You love it.
Oh, dude, I learned how to cook, and I use it every day
now. All you cook is chicken, and you kick the same thing every day, dude.
Chicken and quinoa. And I do CrossFit, and that's how I do that. That's why I look the way I look.
Get the fuck out of here. Enough of you. Sandy, it's his episode, for Christ's sake. We're trying to get to how he ended up in a gay porn.
Dude, tell him why you don't direct gay porn anymore.
All right, well, so I came back from Canada, and this one porn performer, this guy who did gay and straight porn, got AIDS. And so the whole industry shut down. And then I went on the road again, and I came back, and everything had calmed down. They had, like, sussed it out and figured out who had it and who didn't, and people started working again. But when that happens, nobody works for, like, 2 months. And so I couldn't work then and went back on the road, would come back and be like, hey, can I work? And they'd be like, all the people who were doing it before, you need to catch up on work. Check in next time you come back from the road. And that would happen periodically, you know, over the course of a year. And then eventually my friend was like, listen, I appreciate you want to do this, but you're either going to make this your career or you're going to go do comedy, because I don't want to be the one who's responsible for you losing some kind of a job because they find out that you directed gay porn.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like,
it's funny. It should never affect you.
No, it shouldn't.
Kim Kardashian is famous for that very reason.
And
for being in front of the camera on one. So, you know, I mean,
I think that's a bro move on his part. I think he's looking out for you.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think 100% it could affect your Kim Kardashian's a different story. You know what I mean? Kim Kardashian's
famous. But it could have gone the other way. It could have gone
the other
way.
Of course, but I'm saying, yeah, if she ever applied for a job. You know what I mean? Like, she's been able to launch jobs and careers because she's famous. You know what I mean? Yeah. And nothing against her. I mean,
well,
that's
no
what she
one
did.
Would be able to trace me back to my stage name as a director, Walt Disney. So
shut your mouth. First of all, you know ABC is like, I mean, I don't know if you've ever, have you ever in your life submitted to the Tonight Show to do stand-up? Wait till you see what they tell you can and cannot say on there.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God. And they're like, oh, well, it's our sponsors. You know, I literally sent in a clean tape that was clean and honest.
5 minutes.
And they were like, laughed my ass off, couldn't air any of these jokes.
What?
Why?
Any of them.
Because of the...
Look at who's on and what they're talking about.
I have. I feel like they have a very... I mean, didn't Big J just go do Tonight Show?
I have no idea. I didn't see Big J.
I thought so.
Maybe.
Am I wrong? And wait, hold on. Tim Allen had a fucking show on ABC for 10 years, and he did time for selling Coke.
And that's look right. at Saget. And Saget had, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm saying.
What did Saget do?
I mean, his act is raunchy. Oh, filthy, sure. You know what I mean? Course, so I'm saying, like, I don't know. There can be crossover. And I've had friends that have done The Tonight Show, and, like, they did, like, material that, like, was, like, bypassed by producers. Producers like, ah, he's fine. And they got a ton of heat for it because, like, people from, you know, whatever. So I'm saying, I think your boy was looking out for you.
Yeah, yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, sure. For sure, sure.
Yeah. But it...
And it could be you just didn't have an eye for it, man.
You know, I, in my mind, because, you know, we're used to, as comics, having to deal with rejection from auditions and shit like Tonight Show showcases or whatever. So in my mind, I was like, is it because I wasn't good at it?
Yeah.
And then I was like, I want to prove to him that I could do it. But then I was like, nah, he's probably just
so I made my own gay porn.
Yeah. I did, using open micers. They're not good, but the framing is fantastic.
All right, so you've got a lot of stories here, and you've talked about going to Canada a little bit. You said you have the story here about being up there with Paulie.
Well, the first time he took me on the road was to Canada, and he wouldn't really let me go on stage a ton, and rightfully so. I'd been doing stand-up for less than a year.
So what would you do, five ahead of him? Or,
yeah, and sell his T-shirts at the end of the show.
Just that's it, five of you, and then Paulie would do the rest.
I would do five on
time.
Some shows, not even all of them.
And other times it would just be him?
Yeah. And he's like, dude, you got to get a feel for it out here. You can't just, dude, you can't just go up there and think you're opening the shows, bro.
And so then I was on pins and needles, you know, like I felt like I was very much outside my comfort zone. Mm-hmm. I hadn't known him for that long. I hadn't been doing stand up for that long. I didn't really understand why he took me or wanted to take me. Now I realize it's because he picks up on that and knows he can get people like that, like me, to do whatever the fuck he wants, mm-hmm. you know? And I would have done, because I was like, this is, like, my whole comedy career is in his hands right now. He owns the comedy store, you know, he's a movie star, or was. And so, we're in Canada, and have you guys ever done Edmonton?
Mm-mm. No.
There's two clubs there. We were doing, at the time...
Calgary I've done.
The Yuck Yucks. The Yuck Yucks or the
House of Comedy.
House of Comedy, yeah. So there's a House of Comedy in the Edmonton Mall, which is like the biggest mall in the world. And they have a wave pool in there with a bungee jump over it. And we were in the mall, and Paulie had a camera crew following us around. And at the time, the Yuck Yucks that we were performing at was... trying to change their name to the Comedy Store and skirt intellectual property laws by being in Canada and saying, "Oh, it doesn't."
Is that how? Go. Isn't there one in England, London?
Yeah. And there's one in Australia in Sydney.
That's right, Sydney too. But they're not affiliated technically.
Mitzi tried for years to send them cease and desists, and it's just too hard to.
But
sue.
They use the same logo and everything, don't they?
Pretty close.
Yeah,
pretty close. Hmm. But Canada's close enough and is
same continent.
Yeah, same continent and close enough legal system that they were able to successfully thwart their efforts. So Paulie was going around this mall asking all these people, all these Canadian people, what they think about the rift between the Comedy Store and Yuck Yucks, and nobody knows what the fuck he's talking about. And then we get to the wave pool, and I told him earlier in the trip that I'm afraid of heights. He's like, dude, the bungee, right? You got to do it. And I was like, can we cut for a second? I was like, no, you know I'm afraid of heights. He's like, dude, keep rolling.
And you're like, cut, let's go.
Yeah. He's like, dude, you don't fucking call cut, I'm the fucking weasel. And then he's like,
I'm the one that's directing
he's like,
gay porn. Here, right?
This was like just before gay porn. But he's like, dude, do it and I'll give you $100. And I was like, At the time, the Canadian dollar was stronger, so I was like...
Eh. And what were you getting paid just to be there anyway?
$125 a day.
Okay, so like a PA rate kind of?
Yeah, pretty much. And so
travel's covered, room covered, food covered.
Yeah.
And you just got bumped another day right there.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. except for bungee jumping. So I climb up this ladder that's 200 meters above a wave pool in a mall, and I get up there.
And look, I'm an ignorant American, so what's 200 meters in feet?
I think there's 3 feet to a meter.
600 feet?
60.
60? He said 200 meters.
Oh, 200?
Maybe I'm – I can't remember. Maybe it was 200 feet and however many meters it was.
I bungee jumped from like 120, 125. 600 would be – I feel like
– It can't be.
Like an outdoor bridge.
It must have been
like
200 feet.
Let's like say it's New around – yeah, it's somewhere around there. Because don't forget, it's indoors. So you got to have like an indoor structure.
Yeah. It's like a dome, you know?
You're going to dip your face right into that urine pool that everybody's
I came
in.
Very close. So I get up there, and I'm sweating through my jeans, and there's a kid running it. Couldn't have been older than 16. He's not wearing anything except for board shorts and acne medication.
Burwell Beach Bridges.
And he's like trying to rush me along. He's listening to terrible music, and he's like trying to act cool. He's like, come on, just jump. Come on, guy. I don't have all day. All
right, so wait. I want to walk through this because I know how it was when I went. Once I went backwards off a crane and I hated it, and this was off of a platform. So is it day or night right now?
Day.
And are you all connected, like everything's around your waist and everything? And
it was – I had the choice of it going around my ankle, just around my ankle, or around my waist, and I chose waist.
Okay.
Because who the fuck just wants it around their ankle? That's nuts, right?
I did ankles.
It didn't scare you, but you were thrill seeking. I was being coerced into it.
You're
much
right.
Like
I was
much like the straight guy, the air quotes straight guy,
sure,
in the gay porn.
Gotcha.
That's what I was in this situation.
Very well said.
And
so, do you walk to the edge of a platform? Like how?
Well, here's what happened. He was rushing me along, and he didn't like really properly tell me what to do. And so I'm up there, and I'm nervous, and I'm looking down, and I hear Paul, come on, dude, just do it already. And I'm, like, freaking out, and this kid is fucking telling me to go. And so I just ran off the platform. I just ran off. Because he at one point, he goes, just go. And I was like, give me a second to think about this. And I realized, if I think about this, there's no way I'm going to do it.
No fucking way.
So at that moment, I just was like, fuck it, and ran off the platform. Woo! Like Wile E. Coyote running off a cliff. And then as soon as I left the platform, I hear, no, wait, stop.
Nuh-uh.
The video's on YouTube. You can watch it. And if you slow it down, you can see the kid rush to the ledge and be like, no, stop. Stop? What the fuck? What are you talking about?
Like it's a car. Like
you're
going to
swing
now,
even if you have
right?
that instinct, control yourself and don't say anything. You're supposed to like leap up and out.
Yeah.
But since I just ran like running off, I wove a Spider-Man web, like going horizontal instead of vertical.
Oh shit.
And
like
so
tying a knot in the damn thing?
Yeah, like I got raveled in it in the bungee cord and then got a rope burn.
Nuh-uh. Yeah. How bad?
Not bad. I mean, I was wearing jeans, so.
They said if he had hair on his skin, it would have been terrible.
Yeah, maybe that's what happened, right? Got all burned off in a bungee accident, man. Holy shit. So how did you – is that what you talk to that kid? Like, why did you tell me no? Why did you tell
him – Nobody commented on the YouTube video, hey, that was me.
For real?
Yeah.
Did you say, why the fuck did you tell me to go? And then when I went, yell no after I'm gone.
You know what? I'll tell you this. After it was all over – yeah. After it was all over, I was just so full of adrenaline and feeling – it was horrible during. Have you ever done it?
Fuck no. I've skydived, but – I don't even think skydive comes close to what bungee jumping is.
Well,
no.
The thing is, with skydiving, it's one epic leap, which another thing I would never do.
And you can see things passing you. Like when you're skydiving, there's nothing to compare anything to. You just feel like you're floating.
Right.
But when you're bungee jumping, you're watching and you're going towards something.
I mean, you're going towards something and then you get close to it and you spring back up. So it's not just one fall. It's like several shitty falls where your body's being jerked around.
But with skydiving, too, you're so hot. You're, what, 13,000 feet up.
Mm-hmm.
200 feet fall, you don't even feel that when you're 13,000 feet.
That's what I'm saying.
But if you're starting at 200, you can see everything there.
I'm saying I would never.
It's
good.
Scary.
It's horrible.
So you did it?
So I did it, and then I got, and I felt amazing afterward. But the song that was playing on the radio
that haunts you.
Let the bodies hit the floor.
Oh no! I would like, be like, wait till that fucking.
Is there a supervisor I can talk to? What the fuck? I could not believe that.
I got way into that song. It does, dude. Let the bodies.
I was going to do that song at the jam, you know?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, come on. You got to do that song. I'll have Sandy bungee jump down while you do that song, and he'll totally Owen Hart himself for doing this fucking impression of me.
Oh, get the fuck out of here, dude. You know what's good about this, though, Jay, is that since Josh keeps chiming in, we don't need to have him on again the rest of the
year.
That's
a good point.
You know
man.
What
That's
I mean?
A good
That's
point,
great.
Oh, come on. Don't diddly do me like
come on,
that.
Get out of here, dude.
So then at the show, you know, we were in the merch line, and there's somebody that came up to Pauly, and he's like, oh, my God, Pauly Shore, Encino Man is the best movie I've ever seen. And then later that night at the hotel, Paul's like, dude, that audience was crazy tonight, right? I was like, yeah. There was so, and I felt all this confidence from having bungee jumped. I was like, yeah, there was a guy that's in Encino Man's the best movie he's ever seen. not his favorite, the best. And then Paul was like, dude, what the fuck do you mean by that? And I was like, oh, God. I bungee jumped to impress this guy, and one joke I finally feel comfortable with him is going to fuck this up. I was like, well, I mean, hasn't he seen Son-in-Law? He's like, yeah, bro, that's what I'm talking about. And then his next sentence was, dude, I can't believe I got you to bungee jump. I would have just been like, no, fuck you. I'm not going to do it.
And he would have been cool with it.
He probably what is he going to do if I don't do it, you know?
That's the thing. At that point, what are you, 24 at the time, 25?
Yeah.
There's no way you can say no to that.
To give $100?
No, he never gave it.
No fucking way.
He never gave it to me.
Is that real?
Yeah. Are you sure you're not forgetting that?
Dude, cuz the experience was what? It was priceless.
That's a visa, isn't it? Put that on my master charge. That's why I don't mess around with visa. Put that on my master charge.
Way better exchange rate on master
Get
charge
the fuck
than
out
visa.
Here, dude.
Just God. Say it. Just say it.
Just say it's enough. It's enough. Oh, my God. How about the story about your allergies? How about that?
Oh, I've really bad allergies. And
like what?
Like seasonal, you know, environmental allergies and my eyes. Like,
nah, man, I got environmental allergies. Man.
Part of, you know what? I've noticed they've gotten a lot better since I quit smoking. I think I was allergic to weed.
How about that?
And I would get, my eyes would puff up. And I used to have weed all over my apartment all the time, and I was constantly having these allergy attacks where my eyes would swell shut, and I just couldn't stop sneezing. My face would just get all swollen. And then one day I felt that coming on, and I had two shows. And I used to just keep a variety of pills willy-nilly in this one Zantac bottle that I would, like, you know, take with me if I was going out of town or whatever. And one of the pills in there was a Benadryl, a loose Benadryl, and one of them was a loose Molly in the same kind of gel capsule, and it was like a long, narrow, it's like one of those long, narrow bottles,
yeah.
And I was like fishing around for it in a hurry, and I just grabbed it and took it and went to the show. The first show I did that night was at you know that old folks home on Fair, I think it's on Fairfax?
Mm-mm.
Or like,
I know,
it's like Fairfax and Melrose.
Yeah,
something.
No, it's La Cienega.
Maybe.
Well, I know there's one in La Cienega because I'm always like, how is that? It's right on the corner, and it's like you look
it's
in
like
through
the best
two doors on the corner,
yeah,
and you see like the desk where like you come in.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
I don't know. There's one in La Cienega that
Pink's?
I always see.
No, that's La Brea.
Pink's is on La Brea.
Yeah.
Well, how many streets are we going to go through here? Guys?
Right by the Beverly Center, you're saying. I think
very relatable for the people listening
by the Beverly
on the
Center.
East Coast. But I go in there, and there used to be this guy that hung around in when I was an open micer named Will Tilly, who had completely bald on top but long hair on the sides, and he thought he was Andy Kaufman, and he would just go on stage and not speak for like the entire set, and everybody hated him, but he was running the show, and I'm not the kind of, remember, Jay, when we saw that guy that came up to us in the Comedy Store parking lot, immediately went into bits, and we were not mean to him at first.
Mm-hmm.
That's
Do you know who that guy is?
What?
Do you know who that guy is?
The announcer for the...
Yeah, he's got like 2 million followers on Instagram.
Yeah, because...
Since that night we met him...
Uh-huh.
This guy came up to us at the Comedy Store. We're all hanging out, and he went into bit. He was wasted.
He was coked out of his mind, too.
Yes, and he was wasted, and he was being the most arrogant.
And he was
person.
Wearing his name on his shirt, which is a.
Is he a comic such, though?
No,
not a comic.
He runs this Instagram feed. I forget what it's called. People are gonna hit us up where he does this sports announcer who says like, "We'll swear and shit," and he's funny. He's really his Instagrams are really funny, but he was just. He was just being a clown.
He showed up to a comedy club and thought he was going to out-funny comics by going up to them.
At the Comedy Store.
Yeah. We're out back hanging out. And he just walked into our conversation and started like doing stuff. And then we're like, all right, man. And we're all just kind of being cool. And then I just, you know me, I just couldn't do it anymore. And I go, oh, I know you, man. I go, I just haven't seen you in a long time. And he goes, huh? I go, yeah, this guy who rolls in. Out of his mind.
That was the best. That was the best way to handle it.
You know, like, I just was like, dude, you know, like, you know, that guy.
Yeah.
No, his friend was like, no, man, he's really popular and really funny. And I'm like, that's awesome, man.
Joe Rogan's inside.
Like, let's just all talk.
Dave Chappelle's inside right now.
Like, if you want to talk, talk. But he was just, he was fucked up. Yeah, he was fucked up.
I've always just sort of been polite and walked away to those kind of people. Instead of, you know, I'm not the kind of comic who berates the guy that doesn't belong there. And sometimes those people need to hear that, but I'm never the person to do that.
Yeah.
And so this guy, Will Tilly, he had me on this show, and I show up. It's a senior citizens center, and those are the kind of people in the audience. It's very awkward, and all the comics are sitting on stage. And he's standing next to me when I do my set, and I think...
Will?
Will, yeah. And do you remember him? Mm-mm. He used to do potluck like way back in the day.
I don't recall.
Tommy era.
And so he's standing next to you on
he's
stage?
He brings me up and I take the mic and he just stands next to me the entire time. And I'm starting to feel weird, but I think it's because the show is weird. And I'm looking at all these fucking old people and I can't tell if... I just, you know, it's like... You ever just feel disoriented and you feel like you're on drugs for a second, but you're not.
But you were.
But I was. But I didn't. But I didn't know that I was.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I just started making fun of the whole thing, and I think it was upsetting to half the people, and funny to half the people. And the comics on stage were all so uncomfortable that they were laughing. But then I started, like. Making fun of Will, and he was getting upset, and he just took the mic and told me to leave and never come back. And then I sat in my car for a long time trying to figure out what was going on. Then I slowly got myself home. It was like, you know, maybe a half mile away from
you
where I lived.
Did you at least grab like a tapioca pudding from one of the guests?
I wish I would have just like grabbed somebody's walker and ran away.
Dude, I got a buddy who's a nurse and like he not in old age home but like in hospitals and stuff, and the shit this guy would he would call us from the cell phone of people like his patients and shit, like, oh man, I just can't give you a quick call. He'd finish up their plates and shit when they were done eating
their food, yeah. similar thing happened to me actually. It you might remember on our first time we did Portland and Seattle. We took a train from – we flew into Portland, did a night in Portland, and we took the train from Portland to Seattle. It's beautiful. It's also cheap.
Took the train from Portland to Seattle.
Yeah, you know that number. And at the time, my back was fucked up, and I don't like pills, but my doctor gave
dude,
me some.
I do.
Oh, Jesus.
You know,
John.
You know you're going to bring up pills. You know who's going to pop in and pop pills.
All right, dude. We know you love pills and K-holes and everything else you love to tell us about, but this is Sandy's episode, man.
Oh, dude. I'm going to go to a rave. I'll see you guys
all
later.
Right. Get the fuck out of here. So I had thrown like two or three Percocets in with, I guess, just some Tylenol, not thinking about it. It's all white. And I had them in the same jar like a fucking idiot. And
very
I pop,
non-sickler. This is not.
You're 100% right. And I pop three of them. And I know if when I have them, what they make me break out and like I get hives, I throw up, I get like sweaty, nauseous, everything. And
well, especially those pills are so strong. There's so many directions you can't have them on an empty stomach. You have to take stool softeners, or you won't be able to poop for a week. They make you itchy. They make you irritable.
Scratch. They're heroin.
You're tired, but you can't sleep.
That's right.
Yeah.
So. About an hour into the train ride, I start to feel that. I'm like, oh, my God. And I look in the thing, and right away I know. Oh, but what I don't know is whether I've taken three of them or two Tylenols and one
or
two. I know one's
in the
mix.
It's like an SAT question.
I know one's in the mix.
Yeah, totally.
I just don't know
if the train is traveling.
I don't know if it's two more or one more, but there's definitely one in the mix. And I think it ended up only being one, but it fucked with me all the way into the show and everything. Yeah, those.
A lot of people at the show commented about how his game was.
I brought it up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I was on point.
Oh,
I was on point. I play hurt. You know what I'm saying?
You got to play hurt.
You do.
I always wanted to get dosed, you know, because I grew up, I was a huge Grateful Dead fan growing up, and I always watched
these
shows. You know, I was supposed to go to a show on the last tour, and I had to go to camp the day before. I changed sessions so I could go with my friends, and then...
How old were you?
Like 10, 11.
Go to Grateful Dead at 10?
Yeah, yeah.
Tight.
Yeah, dog, yeah.
With
yeah.
who? Who's getting you
My parents were going to take
it. Oh, they were going to take it. Okay.
But I got into it because I came out... My parents let me... times are so different now. I flew out to California when I was 9 by myself, and my grandparents live in OC, and my uncle lives in San Diego, and they let me take the train from Orange County to San Diego by myself.
No one came and picked you up?
I mean, my grandparents picked me up
from
the airport.
Yeah, right. He didn't have to take a taxi and shit, but what he's saying is he's alone on a train,
I know, but I'm saying...
Take a Percocet,
if you're landing, if you're landing in L.A. and I live in San Diego and you're 9, I'm going to roll up and get you.
No. My grandparents
don't have
picked
the money,
me up.
I'll put the rest of it on my man's charge.
I was going to ask, how'd you pay for that train, man?
My grandparents picked me up.
Can
I spent a few days.
Cash here
half cash.
Your grandparents pick you up. I'm sorry.
I went to San Diego. They took me to the train station. I went to visit my uncle, and he played Grateful Dead for me, and I liked it. And it's when Grateful Dead clothing was very in style. And I was like, I'm not a poser. I really listen to this stuff. I was going to go to the show, and then I missed it, and then Jerry died, and I was like, fuck.
Oh yeah,
but then all of like high school, college, I went to the offshoot, you know, like the Phil Lesh and the Bob Weir bands and Fish and all that. Until I realized,
Who was it that filled in that was super popular? Who filled in singing for them for a while?
John Mayer. Now it's John Mayer.
But did they ever do something with Dave Matthews, or am I just
isn't that crazy?
Wrong?
By the way,
what the John Mayer? Yeah.
John Mayer has three music careers. His solo shit, his jazz shit, like that dude's legit at jazz fest and shit. And then the Dead?
Can we not forget? Now he's with Dave Chappelle.
Yeah, and he does
comedy
music
career now. Sure. He's got four.
He's
expanded in four ways.
God damn it. That's not so unfair.
I mean, he's actually doing comedy and music. John Mayer.
Yeah.
That's kind of like the Jam.
The comedy.
Oh, it's.
Oh, I didn't mean
to. I've been trying to get John Mayer on the Jam. Since before it was the Jam. I've just been trying to get John Mayer to come over and hang with
the Rocks. I don't think he's going to go to the Roxy. You think John Mayer would do that shit?
Oh,
then?
Yeah, dude.
He was there one night, actually. I was there watching.
That's how I do it. Way overdo it.
Dying.
He loves to tell me how I like to tell everybody to go fuck themselves. But Josh Ademeyer is the king of hyperbole, bro. There was one night I was at the Roxy for one of the shows, and John Mayer did come in with Jeff Ross and watch, and he was really into it. So he probably would.
Dude, we've been exchanging emails.
Tony Braxton was just at the 4th anniversary.
Yeah, she was on the show that I did, and Jaleel White.
Yep, Jaleel White as well. Yeah,
he sang the Family Matters theme song, but he read it off his phone.
Because he didn't remember.
Because he couldn't. But you know, he probably didn't watch the show.
Yeah, it's true.
Right, well, before you could skip intro, you know?
Right. Josh Adam Myers loves to sing our intro song, but it's not going to happen. So get him. Just stay out of here. So where are we? Where were we here? We got sides.
The show. You're
I always wanted to be dosed because I watched all these Grateful Dead documentaries growing up, and they were like, and then they went to a festival, and Wavy Gravy put LSD in the entire water supply for the whole weekend. And I was just like, that sounds kind of cool. Like, you don't know you're about to have a really good time, and then boom, you're having the best time of your life. But then when I actually did it to myself, it was I kind of did it with Molly by accident, meaning to take Benadryl, but it was kind of unpleasant. And then I went and did another show that night, and it was pretty fun, and I hung out with my friends, and we had a good time. But dealing with those old, like, being around old people, I don't know. I grew up very uncomfortable around old people. What about you guys?
Not me.
No.
Because I was raised by...
Me too.
I had a grandmother, three great aunts that all lived... Everyone was 86, 98, 100, and 102.
Jesus.
So, like, I was always around old people. And they were, like, 70 when I was born, you know?
Wow.
So I was around a lot of old people.
I've never felt comfortable around anyone super old or just anyone that in an authoritative figure. So that whole situation was just like a really
bad... You mean like
bad...
that 16-year-old with the bungee jump?
Yeah, you know what? He put me in my place to really where I was did. Like, I know I'm older than you, but fuck, you're an authoritative figure. I can't handle this.
Dude, I'll show you an authoritative figure.
Oh, my God.
Come on, dude.
Skid Row 2007. The band and the place... Scoring Oxy.
Oh my God, dude, we know the stories.
People
have
heard of it.
God, I did the benefit shows. We know, trust me.
I was part of all of them, man. I was there for all that.
Get the fuck out of here, man. Go feed Lekka, dude. It's a Sandy's episode. There's another acid story you sent this here. Can we talk about that?
Oh yeah, that's a great one. My friends. I have two close friends that got married. Like, I was friends with both, one from summer camp and one from school, and they met independently and hit it off and got married. And they got married at the summer camp in Michigan. And we all just had wild times together, and they're like, we want our wedding to be, you know, crazy. It was at a summer camp. And
that's awesome.
They had me,
bunks and shit?
Yeah. But, like, nice. Like, it wasn't like... There were bunks, but there were, like, nice beds. And
first of all, that's all any adults want to do is go to a summer camp where they can be adults.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, stay in camp, like, bunk rooms again and do all that shit. Are you kidding me?
It had, like, nice bathrooms and nice beds, but it was, like, in cabins, and it was great. It was really cool. And so they encouraged me.
Where?
It was in Michigan, somewhere, like, outside Ann Arbor on a lake. And they encouraged me to do drugs, and... They also asked me to MC the speeches and be the DJ in charge of the music.
Mm-hmm.
And not all three of those things necessarily go together, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I MC'd the speeches and I took a little bit of...
Josh said he used to get fucked up on drugs and do bar mitzvahs.
Dude, DJ in a strip club and bar mitzvahs is a different Stiglitz story. Sickler.
I'm sorry, Sandy. That's my fault there. I got selfish. Get the fuck out of here, Josh.
I'm just going to stick around. But
sit on the couch at least, dude.
I'll keep my mouth shut.
Okay, so I took acid and then I emceed the speeches and that was fine. And then dancing started and the whole party just kind of like went to shit because the bride got too drunk and passed out before the dancing started.
Oh, no. Nah.
Shut up. And so I'm like, I made this playlist. I spent all day making this playlist and I was just going to set it. It was in the right order and everything. And then people start coming up to me and they're like making requests and asking for this song. And the acid starts kicking in and it's stronger than I thought it was going to be. And then my mom's friend comes up to me and asks me to start playing Motown.
Is your mom there?
No, my mom was not there. But it was like, you know, a friend of mine from growing up. So there were friends of my parents there. And that was not really something that I had thought of beforehand. And I wish that I had.
And people are bugging me about the... And then I was just like, fuck it. I'm not in charge of this anymore. And I ran and I just jumped in the lake in my suit. And then...
in front of everybody?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then I cleaned myself off. What?
Did anyone follow?
Yeah. And then my wife came. My then... she my fiance then? I don't know. My now wife. But she wasn't my wife then. And a few other people came and swam with me. And then I got out and... I found a golf cart, and that was the rest of my night.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. The whole rest of the night, I just drove around. I thought I was in Mario Kart. I did laps around the camp.
On acid
in the golf cart. Just the whole time. I drove it on the dance floor. I at one point, I got out. I stacked up a bunch of chairs and glasses, and I just rammed full speed into them.
Holy Jesus.
And then...
Wait, was anyone being like, hey, man, calm the fuck down? Or people like, fucking Sandy!
It was more like, fucking Sandy!
Reverend Sandy over here.
Until afterward, my friend whose wedding it was, the one who was like super fucked up, and my friend who's very responsible, super cool guy, but he's like, you cost us a lot of money in damages. It was like $35 a glass, and I broke probably like 100 glasses.
Some goblets is 35 a pop?
Yeah. Well, you know when you rent... a place for a wedding venue, there's like the markup on everything is insane. Yeah. But
probably
then
a $3 glass.
Yeah, yeah. Not even.
Right.
Probably like a 20-cent glass, you know, they were like ball jars or whatever. But me and my wife, I was like, come on, come take a ride with me. And we got on the golf cart and we fucked on the golf cart, and then it was in park, but then I was like, how cool would it be if I fucked on this golf cart on acid while I was driving it? So we're fucking, and then I just put it in drive and start driving, and I almost hit a tree.
And that's the night our daughter was conceived.
I wish. That would have been a great story.
I wish you rolled back into the wedding while you guys were boning.
Oh, that would have been the best, too. Yeah. Or just into the lake.
You set up shit and crash it onto the dance floor like that, like jumping it into stuff,
yeah,
seeing what you can bring.
Yeah.
Like a Duke Boy slow mo.
Before you get back on, can you play Billy Ocean?
Billy Ocean.
Kind of great. Now we're sharing the same day. And our hearts that beat as one.
I got to tell you, though, for like... if throwing a wedding, you know, like having a wedding like that can get expensive, and you got to ask yourself, did they have to put those glasses on their mask?
Listen, man, you just cost us about $3,500 in damages. Go ahead and put that on my mask.
Let me give you this 20. You put the rest on this mask.
I like that every time you've said that this entire podcast, you've done the motion too.
Yeah, it's just
for us.
Go ahead and put that on my mask.
It's just for us.
You know, those poor people are looking at every possible corner where they could cut costs for a wedding, and he's over here digging them up for like another $5,000.
God knows what he did to that cart.
That's what I'm saying. That's an expensive
golf carts. I think are pretty durable, but I probably fucked it up a little bit.
Probably, but not when there's folding chairs in the axles. Yeah, and shit, you know, like that might fuck them up.
And I was also driving it way off road. Like I was driving it in terrain that it should not have been driven on. I was like doing 360, doing donuts on it in the mud.
In the archery range.
Yeah. On the ropes course.
How's your schedule?
I'm fine.
You good to go?
Yeah.
Want to do it? Can we talk some more?
Yeah.
Let's hear about... you already have one weed story. Let's hear this one right here.
Well, that's more or less... That's not really like a weed smoking story. That's a...
A weed vaping story?
Oh, dude. Oh, don't get me started about vaping. Dude, I got three vapes. One regular, one CBDB, and one THC.
You know, you really do know so well. Just get the fuck out.
All right, that's it.
Come
that's
on,
it.
Yeah, that's it. Take your vapes and
it's
get
like
the fuck
the bat
out
signal, dude. You know if you mention vaping.
Or pills, you said.
Or pills, or music, or just general anything in life, it's the bat signal for me.
Josh, I do have to ask you, can Sandy do the Baltimore accent or not?
He can't do... Dude, Sickler, you know. You know, you're from there. He can't. I mean, I'm from Germantown, but it's close enough. But you know, when you listen to him do it, he can't do the Baltimore twang.
Get the fuck out of here, dude. When did you realize you could do that? Like, were you just sitting, driving? Like, where do you hone that shit?
There's some people I can just hear in my head, and he's one of them.
And instantly it comes out.
There was a while back when at the Comedy Store, it was not the way it is now, and it was very loose on stage, and you could just go up there late at night and do whatever the fuck you wanted for however long you wanted to. And I would just go up there and do, like, all the, like, people would, like, there'd be no one in the audience, maybe two people, and then it would just be comics in the back, like, yelling people out for me to do. And that's pretty much where I figure out who I could do and who I couldn't do.
That's great, dude.
Yeah, big time.
All right, let's hear this senior year in high school story.
So where'd you guys go on your spring break trips when you were younger?
In high school?
Yeah.
We didn't.
Yeah,
you didn't do that?
No.
Home.
What are you, out of your mind? Yeah. Fucking backyard.
We did a senior week at the end when we graduated, but spring breaks, yeah.
What about
the neighborhood?
Did you do it like a spring break college?
The only time I ever did one, because I worked all through college and put myself through, so I drove to New Orleans from Baltimore in my 1990 Honda Civic with the original rims and back. But I went for, our spring break happened to fall in, like, during St. Patty's Day, like mid-March.
Oh, cool.
So I was down there for St. Patrick's Day.
The right time.
Yeah.
So
I played baseball, so we went to Florida. And then the 1 year I wasn't on the team, I went and volunteered in Maine and helped build houses and shit.
Oh, but if you didn't,
so you're better than me.
They called it Spring Break Alternative. And it definitely was.
Oh, dude, I definitely.
Oh, come on.
I did a cleanup. I didn't even go to college. Yeah,
but also,
it was
spit in someone's face.
It was court order.
Trying to drop a class.
It was court order, college. We didn't even say a trigger word to bring you back in the room. What was said that made you pop back in? You're just being selfish now.
Doing community service. I've had to do quite a few.
All right, get the fuck out of here, dude.
For me growing up, I grew up in an affluent suburb. Everybody went on spring break in high school and in college. And I never really did those trips either. I really wanted to my senior year. All my friends were going to the Bahamas or Cancun. My parents wouldn't let me because they had the foresight to know that.
In high school. Wow. No, I don't know. Anyone I know didn't do a trip like that.
Mm-mm. Yeah, I don't know. It seems weird. And in retrospect, why would anyone let their high school student go to the fucking Bahamas or Cancun?
I mean, college, yes, people did that. They're over 18. They live their own lives.
Right.
They can do what they can make the mistake if they want to, sure.
Right, but like you said, you drove to New Orleans. That's what my parents were willing to allow me to do.
I didn't have parents. So.
Oh.
That's why I did it.
Dude, I lost my dad recently.
Oh, Josh.
Well, you mentioned not having parents, so... You know,
your mom's still here.
I knew a friend. Well, you know, she got me out of Montreal. So
she got you in and out.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry that your dad.
She wrote me a note. I got out of it. I was sick.
Get out of here now.
All right.
So my parents were willing to allow me to go on a road trip to New Orleans to keep me from going to Cancun or Bahamas and getting fucked up or getting in trouble or whatever. And, my friend whose wedding it was like, I have a family friend that lives in Owensboro, Kentucky that can get us a bunch of weed for super cheap that we could bring back here and sell and make a ton of money. And I was like, okay, sounds great. And the night before I left, I was dating my now wife. We didn't date all the way from high school till now. We dated in high school, broke up, and then 10 years later got back together. But on
That's
this
crazy.
Yeah, it's a wild story. I should have probably put that down for
next
you guys, but yeah.
Next
up. We had sex and the condom broke and she freaked out. But I just gave her money to get the morning after pill and I split down the next day.
Go get the morning after pill and put it on my master charge.
But I was like, do you want me to stay? I won't go. She's like, no, you should go. But in retrospect, I probably should have stayed.
So but I wouldn't have this
story. But
to go to New Orleans and the weed in and Kentucky stop on in the way Owensboro back, or
on the way there,
weed first.
So we went to Owensboro. It was me, my friend, who got married, and two other friends. And one of them was like a very straight laced, all A's religious guy that we were like fringe friends with, and he was just sort of like,
oh, sure, yeah, I'll go. That'll be fun and swell.
And we dragged him into this degenerate adventure. First, we go to sure Owensboro, did. Kentucky, and we try to get this weed. And it's my friend's family's friend, and they have a kid our age who's fucked up on meth. We're seniors of high school. He takes us to this party with his friends to try to get us weed that he described to us. And they didn't have weed. They had a ton of meth, and they were all like fucking super high on meth, smoking meth, and offering it to us. And it's probably best for me that this happened, because a kid offered me meth and he's like, it's really good. It's got Freon in it.
Oh,
geez. And I was like, oh no, I'm never going to do this.
That's, you know, Freon's what they use in vape pens now. You know what I mean? That's the one thing.
Oh, yeah, dude. That's God, the John, one that's the thing you're not allowed.
I can't say anything.
To really tell the FDA about if you're using in your vape.
All right. Thanks for the vape lesson. Now get the
but
fuck
it
out
keeps
of here.
You
All
cool.
Right. All right. Get the fuck out of here.
Okay, so we drive down to Panama City Beach and had a night there.
That's like, that's where a lot of people I knew in college went.
Right,
Panama
yeah, yeah.
City, yeah.
We had got like drunk and it was whatever. It was like a typical spring break. And then we drove to New Orleans, and on the first night we met this hippie who we asked for weed. He's like, come by our pad tomorrow night and we'll hook you up. So we went there. We smoked weed. We watched the show Recess, and we asked if they had more weed, and he said, come back tomorrow. And after a few days of this, one day we met them in the French Quarter, and one of his friends gave me a knife, and he's like, you might need this. And we went looking around to try to find weed and couldn't find it, but we ran into my friend's cousin, coincidentally, who is playing in a klezmer band. Do you guys
What's
know what
that?
I mean? Klezmer music is? It's like Jewish chamber music from the shtetls in Poland.
Somebody Jeez. Should do that on the Comedy Jam.
Oh yeah, dude. I've been trying to get a klezmer song on the jam since the Shekels was rapping.
You know everything, man.
His face lights up every time.
God damn it, I'm sorry. That's my mistake. I don't even know what I was thinking.
Wait, so where was he performing in New Orleans? Like not on the strip or
No, I mean klezmer is kind of jazzy, so they were just at this like live workspace for artists that we ended up at, and I was just like holding this knife feeling weird about it. And think? Also, oh, I forgot to mention that my friend whose wedding I crashed the golf cart at, he brought his dad's gun, one of his dad's guns, because he's like, we have all this money.
Handgun or?
Handgun, okay. Yeah. We have all this money. I don't want anything to happen. But in retrospect, he's like, what are you going to shoot somebody over this money? What the fuck are we doing here? So anyway, the next day we go back to this hippie's apartment, and a new guy shows up, big redhead dude, long hair. He's got teardrop tattoos, and he shows up with a pound of weed, and we're like, awesome, yes, this is exactly what we wanted. And it was so cheap that we're like, could you get us another one? And he did, and we got to talk. We smoked. We got to talk.
You remember how much
him.
It was?
It was $1,000.
For a pound.
For 2 pounds.
For 2 pounds?
For
Jeez.
2 pounds.
Holy Christ. Shit.
It was super cheap. We could not believe it. We were fucking jizzing our pants over it.
How many,
it was awesome.
How many days
and our friends,
in?
Our friends who did go to the Bahamas gave us probably like $2,500 to get this weed. And we're just like, we're just going to tell them it was $2,500.
Yeah.
And because we had to drive it back with a fucking
yes,
handgun in the car.
Yes.
They got to go party in the fucking Bahamas.
Wait, who had the handgun?
My friend.
Remember his buddy brought his dad's handgun.
Yeah, because we had all this money. I mean, in high school, we think $2,500 is a shitload of money. He's like, well, we got it. You know, we need to protect ourselves. We're doing shady
fucking
shit.
Stand by me over here.
Yeah. Fuck. You got, so now you have 2 pounds
so
of weed.
So now we have 2 pounds of weed and a handgun.
Registered handgun. That's a little more important.
A registered handgun, registered. But none of the people who are
but
possessing
it.
Yes. Yeah. And we got to talking
to
this.
The owner is not in the vehicle.
No, not at all. And we got to talking to this guy, and he told us that we, if we're going to travel with it, we got to put it in a box and stamp it and make sure it's got an address, because if they search your vehicle, they can't fuck with the mail or something. And in
that
our mind,
sense.
They're like,
does it?
Well, yeah, okay, yeah. Opening someone's mail is like a federal offense, right?
Yeah. So we did that, and we started talking more. And
I just have a feeling when the Kentucky troopers are beating your ass on the side of the fucking highway, they don't give a fuck about opening your goddamn mouth. Nah, that shit was already open right there, man. There's no, they're
hey,
way
officer,
out in the country.
That's
like,
a federal offense. You can't do that.
It's my grandmother, man.
I already paid to have that shipped by UPS.
Shout out to UPS Baltimore Hub, Primary One, Joe Avenue.
I was trying to tee you up to put it on your master charge.
Oh, well, look at that. You tee me up for another shout-out. That's another Baltimore shout-out, another Maryland shout-out.
Oh, dude.
Oh, I'm sorry.
How
man.
Could
that's
you expect
bad.
To mention Baltimore and not have me chime in?
Come on, man. Just come on.
He
you
does
have
Maryland
the jam
tattoos.
Poster up
we
there.
Do. That's the first episode ever that launched all of it, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, first live show ever that no. launched the 4 years that has been going and the TV series and the arable pilot. That happened, too.
R.I.P.
All right. And get the fuck out of here now. All right.
I'm going to go pray for the jam. I miss Ange.
All right. So.
We all miss Ange.
So we got to talking with this guy Bubba with the teardrop, the hippie with the teardrop tattoos, and he's like, where are you guys from? Michigan. He's like, oh, I used to live there. And turns out he was college roommates with our science teacher in high school.
Come on.
Yeah. Like
a small world story.
Small world story. They used to be roommates in college at Eastern Michigan University. He's like,
what was your science teacher's name?
Josh Barkley.
You're not going to believe this right now.
Hey, Josh Barkley!
Get in there, man.
Scientific ass in here. That's two Joshes in the same room tonight.
Dude,
oh, come
dude.
On. That wasn't
no,
a cue
no.
for you to come back.
I am the only Josh that gets to interrupt on this pod. Fuck that. No. Fuck you, you hippie fucking teacher douchebag.
Yeah. All right, dude. Settle down and get out of here.
and this guy's like, Jewish, because he's a Jewish guy. The teacher, they called
so
him.
You start talking.
They called him Juice, and they're like, Juice did more acid than any of us in college, and so we now have all this dirt on our teacher, and it's great. We're so excited.
How small world is this whole trip? You just keep running.
Well, that's the thing.
That's
like,
so weird. That was the really weird thing about it.
It's not like they're in college, and like I can't believe our old teacher was like that. They're going back to school with this knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So we see that, yeah, dude. Of like, yeah, guess what, bro?
So we did,
yeah.
And I said to my teacher, I was like, hey, Juice, Bubba says hi, and his face went white, and he was horrified.
Because it wasn't even a social media connection
no,
or anything,
it wasn't.
You know, like.
No, nothing like that. It was a happenstance coincidence.
Out of state.
And he pulled me out of class the next day in a class that wasn't his, and he's like, what was the meaning of that? And I was like, I met your friend from college. And he's like, don't talk to that guy. He is a murderer. He kills people. And
what?
I was like, what? He's like, did you see those teardrop tattoos on his face? That signifies that he murdered people. He tries to reach out to me, and I never call him back. Don't you talk to him. He's dangerous. And I was like,
well, he's got a great week.
I was like, well, he wanted me to show you this picture of his daughter.
Really?
And the weed was not great. That's why it was so cheap.
Yeah.
But it was, I mean, it got us through the rest of our senior
pound
year.
Of weed, 2 pounds. Pound of weed, pound of seeds. You know what I'm
yeah,
saying?
Pretty much, yeah. But we drove back to Michigan, and we rolled like 2 ounces into a joint and smoked in my parents' basement that night. It was pretty fun. But then getting to rub that in my teacher's face was the best part of the story. He was so fucking scared.
I imagine.
I mean, we could have. I mean, he had to have been thinking we were going to get him fired or something, right?
Yeah, or just like that you were going to try and hold. Yeah, whatever it was,
or blackmail.
But also, who knows what that guy didn't tell you?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, there's some stories your teacher might be like, "Fuck, I wonder what he told."
Right.
Because again, he did the most acid, so who knows what the fuck he did when he was on that acid?
That's a very good point. You know? And he was the natural sciences teacher.
Makes sense.
He was like, he was the one that like tried to teach us that we should not use plastic and drink water, just use a solar still to make water. You know what a solar still is?
Mm-mm. Is that when you get the moisture and it drips?
Yeah. You dig a hole and you put plastic on top of the hole and you just drink the condensation.
Wow.
He's like, this is how we should all be drinking our water. I was like, all right.
I mean, he's not wrong. Well, no. Good luck.
Yeah.
Good luck with that shit.
I'm going to the hole. Grab a sip.
I just got
a subscription to Spark.
Oh, man.
Sparklets.
Come on, dude.
I put it on my master charge.
Get out of here. Only my grandma has a master charge.
Dude, I have one. It came free with my last vape.
Dude, get the fuck out of here. This is Sandy's episode. Yeah, we got to wrap it up here because we got to get out of here.
That's cool.
But this was
this is a lot of fun.
This
man.
Was
this
awesome,
great.
Dude. You've been
so
fantastic.
Much fun. Yeah.
Please, one more time, let everybody know your social media, your podcast, anything you want, please.
At Sandy Danto, SandyDanto, at MFers Podcast, and at Watch Me Chill. That's my whole life. All those things.
I love it, man. This is so much fun. Thanks so much for coming out.
Yeah.
As always, JLarsonComedy.com, JLarsonComedy on all social media.
RyanSickler.com, RyanSickler on all social media. We'll talk to you all next Tuesday.